When that day, as evening drew near, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. A violent squall came up, and waves were breaking over the boat, so that it was already filling up. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceased, and there was great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you terrified? Do you not have faith yet?" They were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this whom even wind and sea obey?" The Gospel of the Lord. The person of David is very, very fascinating. There are many messages that we can glean from the readings we had yesterday and today. Understand the reading today, have to understand what happened in yesterday's reading, in which David commits adultery with Bathsheba. How could this happen? We have most of the Psalms that Catholics, Christians, Jews read were basically inspired by David. David was a man according to the heart of God. What a compliment. So David was a very gifted, a very holy man. How could something like that happen? Well, let's go through the reasons why. First is that David was king. He was a successful military leader. And he should have been out in the battlefield with his soldiers. So that's the first point of the debacle or demise of David, is that he was shirking his obligation. So that's a point for us. Every day we should be asking ourselves, what is our obligation today? What is God asking us to carry out today? And to work at that with all of our heart. We focus. What is God asking you to do today? Don't be lethargic, lackadaisical, flippant, but whatever you're called to do, do it with all your heart, with energy and strength and enthusiasm. They say in Spanish, con ganas, with a real desire. Okay, the second is this. Is yesterday in the reading, David, well, he took a long siesta. Laziness. Try to avoid laziness. Laziness is so dangerous. There's a passage in the Diary of Saint Faustina where Faustina meets the devil in the convent. And the devil is rushing around frenetically, And Faustina, inspired by God, Jesus wanted her to stop the devil and ask the devil a question. So she stops the devil in his track and says, "What is the most dangerous sin for religious?" And the devil said right away, laziness. But the devil said, I can't find one lazy nun in this convent. So I'm running around trying to find a lazy, but they're all very busy and active and they're engaged in their activities. Have you ever been lazy in your life? Never, huh? Laziness opens up the door to many other sins. How many parents here? You know what you ought to be thinking when your children or grandchildren is already in April, what are you going to be doing with your children the middle of June, July, and August? In other words, you ought to have already a summer program set up for your children already in the middle of April. No parents, they've got their kids on vacation and they have no plan whatsoever. You're begging for trouble. Good parents should have those children involved in sports activities, some type of intellectual activity, have the children working at home. Otherwise, your kid is going to get into trouble. I promise you that. I promise you that. My mother once told me a story that when she was, I guess, 7 or 8 years old, she was bored. And she came up to her mother and said, "I'm bored, I've got nothing to do." And my grandmother said, "Joni, you don't have anything to do? You can clean the bathroom, you can clean out the garage, you can wash the dishes, you can shine all the shoes of all the people in the house." My mom was never bored again in her life. So one of the reasons why the sin of David was so grave is because David, he gave in to laziness. Here you have a very, very holy man. Laziness and complacency. So you have children and grandchildren, keep them so busy that they don't have enough time to go to the bathroom almost, okay? Especially in the summer. Idleness is the workshop of the devil. That's true. As St. Bonaventure says, when someone is working, there's one devil going after you. If you have nothing to do, you've got an army of devils that are going after you. An army. And it's not a frenetic, nervous, tense work regimen, but move from one activity to the next calmly and peacefully. It may not be always physical activity, maybe it's intellectual activity, which is even more demanding. But the human body is made to work. We're made to work. If we don't work, we're going to get in trouble. Even elderly people should be engaged in some type of work. Have any of you ever visited nursing homes? How sad, right? See, these elderly people, they're maybe 75, 80, 85, maybe 90. Maybe they're going to live another 10 years. And they're just sitting there in front of TV, vegetating and preparing for death in a very sad way. So So I'm setting up a program now to try to give the Marian consecration to the elderly. I'm working in that now. So that these elderly people, it should be the flower of their life, are going deeper and deeper and deeper in their prayer life. That's the way it should be. People that are maybe here older than 70 years old, we got a few of you here, huh? All of us that are getting older, we should be growing deeper in our prayer life. Maybe you can't do hard physical work, but you can work with your soul. So there's a key lesson. Laziness idleness is the workshop of the devil. We got to keep busy working in the vineyard of the Lord. Father Hurtado says in Spanish, hay dos lugares para descansar, el cementerio y el cielo. Amen. There are two places to rest, the cemetery and heaven. In the meantime, it's time to work. St. Peter Canisius, working very hard. Someone said, stop, slow down. And he said, I will have all eternity to rest. St. Peter Canisius, Jesuit doctor of the church. Last point, and I invite you to read the fall and the rise of David, because there's a lot there. I'm just touching the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot there. But one other is, David gets up after his long siesta. He's taking a walk on the terrace of his residence. What does he do? With his eyes, he looks at this woman who's taking a bath. Perfect name, Bathsheba, taking the bath, right? Good old Bathsheba taking her bath, huh? Often though, why was she taking a bath on the roof? Couldn't she have done that in her house? No? But there's another long reflection. We have to learn to control our eyes. Wandering eyes. Very, very dangerous. How do you use your eyes? Do you look at TV? Do you look at the internet? All of us have eyes. Our eyes are not made to look at bad things. Our eyes are made to look at the noble, the beautiful, that which is worthy of praise. The eyes are the mirror of the soul. And Jesus said this, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. Amen? Amen. So the gospel teaches us that you're going to have storms in your life. And probably even today, get ready for the storms. Get ready for them. Maybe right after Mass, you're going to go home and there's going to be a storm in your house. No? What's the message? Turn to Jesus. Say, Lord, help me. With all of your heart, say, Lord, help me. Lord, calm this storm down. And you'll say, man of little faith, why did you doubt? So welcome to the life filled with storms. If Jesus is in our boat, we just have to wake him up and say, Lord, help me. Lord, calm down the storms in my life. And the Lord, with one word, just like that, he can calm the biggest storms in our lives. Amen.